I'm Gemma Lonsdale, psychic medium and life coach, and you're listening to the Happy Psychic Podcast. Welcome to this week's episode of the Happy Psychic Podcast. I am your host, your guiding light, Gemma Lonsdale, and I am absolutely over the moon that you're here today. There was a recent survey done, and this dates back to 2019, so not really that long ago, and it actually stated that only 15% of employees were satisfied with their work. And I'll be honest, I wasn't really that shocked with that. So that really would be suggesting that 85% of people have some form of dissatisfaction with their working life. Now, that doesn't mean that you're getting up every day and hating work and never wanting to go back, and this is, you know, the biggest burden of your life. But if only 15% are engaged and are experiencing some form of satisfaction, then 85% really need to make a big change with their lives. And I can't help but wonder how many of that 85% are actually listening to this podcast today. You know, we have this mindset, I think, within society that work is a requirement. It's not something that we have to enjoy. It's just something that we have to do. And there are many different obstacles and barriers whenever it comes to actually following something that we're passionate about and following what we really desire. We have societal expectations, we have certain family expectations, depending on the background that you come from, you know, various different responsibilities that we might have with children, a mortgage, and things like that. So there are different things that would put barriers there. But it's really quite fascinating whenever we look back to whenever we were young and how all of these different things have shaped our mind and shaped our belief system and told us that actually work is something that we have to do. We have to do certain things. You must do this. We expect you to do that. And all of a sudden you find yourself in a position where you're 85% of people who are dissatisfied with your job. And it definitely does not have to be like that. Recently, I had a class. It was just on Sunday evening. I'm recording this on Tuesday, so it was just 2 days ago. It was very, very fresh in my mind. I have a mentor group for people who are really eager to develop their mediumship ability. And we look at different aspects of mediumship. You know, there are so many different things that we can do with mediumship. It's not all about connecting to your loved one that has passed, although that is a very, very powerful thing and brings a lot of healing. There are a lot of different ways in which we can use these God-given spiritual gifts. And one of them is with psychic archaeology, and this would involve going back to archaeological sites and exploring them in more detail. What other things haven't been uncovered yet? What else can we learn about that time? What has science not been able to understand? What gaps are there in the information? What sort of lives did they really lead? And actually on Sunday evening as part of this class, that's exactly what we were doing. We were focusing on psychic archaeology, and we went back to the time of ancient Egypt, to the time whenever the pyramids were actually being built. And how it usually works in these situations, you know, whenever we're doing evidential, what I refer to as evidential mediumship, where we're bringing, you know, grandma through who wants to, you know, confirm to you that she's, you know, she still exists and she's bringing all of these different things that only you would know. It's very, very different when we're working in the way that we're connecting to people that we don't actually know, for the simple fact that how do we clarify it, you know, and there's so much evidence that's already there. Did I hear it before? Did I, you know, is it something that's been there that I've learned over the years and I've forgotten? How do we validate that actually we're connected to these people? And really the best way to do that within a group setting is to set your intentions. You know, this, we're going to connect to somebody from that time. We're going to ask the spirit person to come forward and support us. We're going to work with them independently. So we work individually. However, here are a set list of questions that we're going to ask this person. And we go off and we sit and we connect in and we write down our answers. We meditate, we, you know, deep breathing, and, you know, we connect in with this energy. And depending on how we receive our gifts, you know, we might have somebody telling us stuff. We might have somebody putting energy onto us. We might get a clear knowing of something. We might, you know, see the visions. We might be working with all of this. And it starts to give us a really good sense of what sort of life that person lived and the society that they came from. One of the questions was around, what was life like for them back then? What could they share with us? And they were sharing things like their work life. They were showing us a sense of community, how they ate, how they lived off the land. They talked about compassion. They talked about work-life balance. They talked about working with a sense of purpose. They also talked about not overworking when they compared it to today, what we have. They talked about the fact that they didn't work too hard. They worked, but a lot of their time was spent on pleasure seeking, having fun, connecting in with those around them, other villagers, other people that were around them. You know, they had this sense of community. If somebody was poor, if somebody was starving, they helped them. They gave them food. Everybody worked together. Whenever they farmed the land as a group. It wasn't just one individual farmer that maybe employed one or two people. They did it collectively. And that was really the big thing that was missing from today. You know, the compassion and everything that we feel, and this sense of togetherness. But one of the big things for me was whenever I was seeing them building the pyramids, I've seen people smiling from ear to ear. People were happy. People worked hard, but they didn't overwork. People had a sense of purpose whenever they were building, but it wasn't their obsession. It wasn't their constant. They weren't doing 40, 50, 60, 70 hour weeks. And whenever we asked them, keep in mind, this is all collective. This isn't just coming from me. This was the findings of the group. We all had similar findings. There was this common thread that run through all of the information. When we asked them what advice they would give us for moving forward and what they would change, they said, we work too hard. We don't spend enough time enjoying ourselves. We don't have enough compassion. We shut the horrors of the world outside our door. We close the curtains. That's not my issue. That's not my problem. They had passion. That was such an amazing finding to have. They worked with a sense of purpose. They followed their hearts. They did things that they really enjoyed. And they spent a lot of time on pleasure pursuits. You know, this life is to be enjoyed. It's not to be endured. That was the big message that actually came through. You know, we're not supposed to be working as much as what we do. You know, there's no success really when we think of working ourselves into an early grave or working ourselves into unhappiness with the 50, 60, 70 hour week or however much you want to work. You know, yes, we do have to work. We have to contribute to society in some shape or form, but there's no reward for being stressed out and anxious unless you want to classify hospitalization and anti-anxiety and, you know, a depression medication as being your reward and being mentally ill. But how do we actually get to that point where we're passionate about our work? And that is the big challenge for people. But it all starts with one person. You know, if we want to get back to where they were in ancient Egyptian times, when they had purpose, they had this collaborative approach, they had compassion, they really pulled together, they worked the land together. You know, how do we get back to something like that? And it isn't going to change overnight. It's not the sort of thing that we can just say, right, you know, I'm going to decide to do that today and then that'll be brilliant. But it just takes a small step in the right direction. And one person to take that step, and then for somebody else to take that step. And then gradually change will come in over time. So, you know, it's not going to happen overnight, but it can definitely happen. The corporate world really brainwashed me. You know, a large portion of my working life, the majority of my working life really was spent within the corporate world. I worked for a really large recruitment company, a national recruiter based in the UK. And we started at 8 a.m. in the morning. This was Monday to Friday, so we would have started at 8 a.m. That meant that you had to be sitting at your desk by 7:55, computer on, coffee in your hand. So you were really having to get into the office at 7:45, 7:50. And we worked until 6. And when I say that we worked until 6, officially you got paid until 6. but you couldn't leave until the work was done. That was really the general consensus. So that was Monday to Friday. And I was young. You know, it was a very young atmosphere. We were working in the city centre. So once work was finished, then it was, okay, let's get outside, let's hit the bars. And then you would have come in the next day and done it all over again. And I'm not saying that it was never enjoyable. There was a lot of time there that I did enjoy it, but it was hard. You know, those hours were long. You didn't really have much of a life outside of work because so much of your time was focused on the job. And whenever it came to having children, I couldn't have imagined how I could have done that job and actually had a family as well. The two just didn't seem to marry up. It didn't even really marry up when it came to having relationships, if I'm being honest. You know, you were really married to the job. You had to give it everything and you were expected to give it everything. You know, you really had to give it blood. And that was my experience, and it was many other people's experience that worked there. But also there's so many people that have had a similar experience whenever they've worked elsewhere as well. So I know that this experience isn't just exclusive to me and what I had there. You know, there was very much a work hard, play hard culture within the recruitment world. And but it was tough. You know, it was definitely a really tough world. And there were sales targets, there was stress, people were getting sacked for not hitting target. So it was a lot to take on board. So eventually I left, after quite a long period of time, I might add. But I left. I went to work for another organisation doing something similar. And you know what? I was very institutionalised. I actually went on to start up my own recruitment company, really based on the model of where I had worked previously. And it was almost like being brainwashed. It really was like being brainwashed, where I expected that of myself. I had this awful guilt, this guilt that would wash over me if I wasn't at my desk constantly working. Even when I didn't feel like it, even when I wasn't being productive, I still felt the need to sit there. I still, you know, well, I need to do my 8 to 6 or my 9 to 5, whatever it might be. So there was this expectation that I was simply present, and that if I was present, then that was enough. But I also expected that from the people that I employed as well. So from my team, it was a raised eyebrow. Oh, it's 5 o'clock and you're going home. Well, I only get paid until 5, but you're going home. You might only get paid until 5, but have you finished? There's more surely that has to be done. Surely you can do more, make more profit, make more calls. Because that was the background that I was from. So I had come from this toxic background, and then all of a sudden I too was toxic. And I was spreading this toxicity around the people and around the environment that I worked in. And it was miserable, and I really run myself into the ground. You know, I really had lost my passion for the recruitment world. And bit by bit, we were downsizing. And the day that I left, the day that I let my last member of staff go, was a very sad day. But I knew that I was finished. I knew that I really had to move forward onto something different. So I went to work. I went to work in the tech world, actually. I went to work for a SaaS company. And it was very, very different. You know, I had come from this corporate culture where you were suited and booted every day. There was none of this, relaxed work environment that you get within the tech industry. So if anybody works in the tech industry or knows anybody that works in the tech industry, you will know what I mean. It's very, you know, chilled out clothing, very casual, very relaxed. The organization that I worked for, we didn't actually have any set working hours. We had a contract of employment that required us to do our job. But outside of that, it didn't matter how many hours it took for you to do the job. You didn't have to be at your desk 9 to 5. You worked from home. You had a nice fancy MacBook. You had a company credit card with no expectation on what you spent on that credit card, because you were trusted. And this was such a foreign concept for me. So I went from this very, very restricted environment to all of a sudden being in this place where I had complete freedom. But I still couldn't get out of that mindset of, but I need to be there. I need to be at my desk all the time. I need to be available. I need to be proving that I'm doing the work. I need to be present. It really all came back to that. I need to be present. But eventually, I lost my passion. I thought, well, you know, I'll go to another tech company. So I changed job. And it started off great, you know, something new and interesting, a new platform to learn about a new industry, a new sector. It was exciting learning about the technology. And I thought, okay, well, you know, this is good. This gives me like a new chance, a fresh start. And I did the job. And eventually, within the year, I might add, my passion faded. That really uncomfortable feeling started to come up to the surface again, that I just wasn't happy. This wasn't giving me the sense of purpose that it once did. I wasn't feeling passionate anymore about the thrill of the chase. I was in new business sales. So if anybody is from a sales background, you will know there's just that hunter mentality of bringing in more business. It's, you know, it's a driver for success and hitting that target. But I just really lost it. So whenever my team and those around me were shouting about, yes, we've got a new customer, a new contract, I wasn't interested. I didn't have the same interest in it as what I once did. And I then changed and I went to another tech company. And then I started to realize the pattern. As I kept changing company and I kept realizing, I'm not passionate about this. This isn't floating my boat anymore. And that was whenever I really started to wake up. And actually, I ended up having a spiritual awakening. And it was really through that I started to realize what my passions were. And that's very, very difficult, because on one hand, we can understand that we're not feeling passion from what we're doing. But it's very difficult even trying to define, okay, well, what am I passionate about? We can know that we're unpassionate about something and that we're dissatisfied. But how then do we find out what we do want to do and the path we do want to go down? And that is a challenge in itself. And then we have all of these social restrictions and these walls that we have built around ourselves based on what other people expect from us. It's not about what we expected. Whenever we came into this world, we wanted to follow our passion. Our soul really wanted to follow our passion. It's because of what other people have said to us, and society has said to us, that you must do this, you are expected to do that, that we have then followed the crowd and we have thought, okay, well, I can't change. I don't need to be passionate about my job. I just need to do my job. I need to be present. It doesn't matter how efficient I'm being or how much I want to work today. I need to be here. Society expects it. My boss expects it. My wife, my husband, my parents expect it. So your mind will come up with every excuse under the sun why you can't follow your passion. But once you really start to put that thought out to the universe that actually you want to change, you want to open up the door to something new, it will bring obstacles and triggers and things onto your path that will help you see that actually there has to be something better than this. There's a lyric from a Linkin Park song. It's heavy. The song is heavy. The lyrics are heavy, but the song is heavy. And I actually really encourage you to listen to it, because it's just amazing lyrics from the band. I don't know if it was Chester Bennington specifically that wrote it, but the lyric itself is, I want to let go, but there's comfort in the panic. That's the specific lyric that I want to draw your attention to. Now, I'm sure that you can relate in some way that actually, regardless of how dissatisfied we are with life, sometimes there's a comfort in that discomfort. Because to change is also uncomfortable. To do something different is uncomfortable. To step outside of our comfort zone is uncomfortable. So we'll just stay here. We'll not change. We'll just deal with the discomfort. It's whenever we chase the salary or the job title, the prestige of something, we chase the lifestyle, the attachment to the personal possessions that we have, that we will never find happiness. Not truly. You might find ego stepping in and really giving you that ego boost because you've got such a nice car, you're the envy of all of the parents on the school run, or, you know, your classmates will really know that you've made it this time when they see your job title on LinkedIn. or your nice house or your nice holiday. You know, we're all wanting to live that Instagram lifestyle to a certain extent, and we want others to be proud of us. We want to have that validation that we matter. But actually, what matters to the universe and what matters to your soul is that you're following your passion. That's all it wants. And whenever we just start to listen to it whisper, listen to your heart whisper, and it will be a whisper. Your soul will start to scream out to you eventually, but it just starts as a whisper. So if you're not passionate about what you're doing today, if you feel like you're living a humdrum existence, start to put your thoughts out to the universe and tell the universe that you were ready for a change. You were ready for those doors to open up. You're ready to see what your purpose is. You're ready to understand what your passions are. Because uncovering one passion or uncovering what we're passionate about is a challenge in itself, but it is one step in the right direction. But it all starts with putting that thought out to the universe. Right, that maybe you're open to listening. And I can guarantee that if you are prepared to take that leap of faith, the universe will reward you incredible amounts. The universe will reward your bravery with abundance and opportunities, and it will give you a leg up. It will help open that door. It will help bring that opportunity. You don't need to think about the how. You don't need to understand the how will I create money from pursuing my passion? How will I pay my bills? You don't need to understand all of that. All the universe wants for you to do is to follow your heart and to put the effort in. Just follow your heart. Listen to it. Whenever you start to focus your energy on what you want to grow and what your passions are, it will naturally grow and flourish. It might not happen immediately, but it will grow and flourish. So the universe will definitely reward you. I can guarantee that. From personal experience, I have seen it in me, but I've also seen it in the people that I've worked with. I've seen it in others. I see it happen. It's like a miracle that happens every day. All the universe is asking for you to do is to take that leap of faith. Trust it. And to trust in the universe means to trust in yourself. Whenever we have the belief that we can, everybody else believes in it. Whenever we have the belief that we can't, whenever we're telling ourselves we can't do that, the universe will be in agreement as well. So we'll probably be your colleagues, your family, everybody else around you. But once you really start to believe that it's possible and believe that you can, nothing else matters. I really hope that you've enjoyed the podcast. And I hope that it's given you some inspiration to follow your passion and to figure out what is your purpose in life and how you can make that happen. What is the first step that you need to take? What are those barriers that you need to break down in order to have you living a life of purpose and being fulfilled in your job day to day?